Thank you, Rob. Praise the Lord. I hope you believe in miracles. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5 and verse 20. During the time we were gone, this story and this passage was on my heart over and over. Finally, I turned to it and reread it, wrote a bunch of notes here in my Bible, and wrote some things down and decided I would preach on this tonight. And I've been studying a little bit about the heart, and of course ran into this passage several weeks ago, probably a month or so ago actually, and just because of the reference to heart. But I want to talk to you tonight about breaking the master's heart, breaking the master's heart. 2 Kings 5 and verse 20, it says, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him.' So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, 'Is all well?' And he said, 'All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments.' And Naaman said, 'Be content, take two talents.' And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, 'Whence comest thou, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Thy servant went no whither.' And he said unto him, 'Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever.' And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." And Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight and give us what we need as we contemplate our own lives before we receive the Lord's Supper. I pray that we would make any decisions we need to make, and Lord, that we would do what you commanded us and receive the Lord's Supper together in remembrance of you. And I pray that you'll use the scripture now to guide us into the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Elisha says to Gehazi, after Gehazi sinned, and after Gehazi lies to him, and he says this statement in verse 26, he said, "Went not mine heart with thee?" I thought that was an amazing. I read that and read it and just kept reading it over and over again. "Went not mine heart." In other words, when you went to commit your sin, my heart went with you. Literally, you broke my heart. You broke my heart. You took my heart. You broke my heart. "Went not mine heart with thee?" And so here he is before the master. And the master says, "Don't you understand? You broke my heart. Don't you understand? When you sinned against me, you broke my heart." Well, just a little review here in chapter 5. In verse 1, we see the story of Naaman, who's a captain of the host of the king of Syria. And Naaman, the Bible says, is a leper. A little maid, later on, a little Jewish maid, remembers Elisha, remembers that there was a man of God back home. And she tells Naaman, tells Naaman's people, and they go to Naaman and say, "Hey, this little maid, this lady, says that she knows of a man of God that can help you." Isn't that a blessing? I mean, it's wonderful to see the soul-winning effort of this young lady. And so Naaman, of course, seeks out a way to get rid of his leprosy. He needs a man of God to help him. And so verses 9 and 10 of chapter 5, we see that Naaman comes with his horses, with his chariot, and he goes to Elisha. And of course, you know, he probably expects Elisha to show a lot of respect and everything as far as because he's such a big shot and everything. And but Elisha, he just sends a servant, sends a messenger, and tells him, "Okay, just tell him go wash in the Jordan seven times." Well, we know this story. We've heard this story many, many times. And Naaman's upset. He says, "I don't want to wash in the Jordan River. I want the man of God. I want to do what they do on Channel 40. He says, I want somebody to, you know, get a big audience together, and I want somebody to, you know, lay their hands on me, and I'll fall backwards, and five or six people carry me out, and the nurse's auxiliary will take me, and we'll all swing from shame. You know, he wants something else. He doesn't want to go dip seven times in the Jordan River, which is a dirty river. He says, come on, we can make this better than this. And it's amazing. He wants to go back to the Abana and the Pharpar rivers back in his home that are clean and sparkly water. He didn't understand that leprosy's dirty, did he? Isn't that kind of how we get sometimes in the area of salvation? People get so upset when you talk to them about going to heaven, and they get so upset when you tell them, well, you know the Bible says we're all sinners. Me? Don't you understand? I'm white. Don't you understand? I'm an American. Don't you understand? Daddy's a deacon. Don't you get it? My parents are big shots. They're pillars of the church. What are you talking about? Me? That was Naaman's problem. And you know, Naaman, he seems to be pretty content on keeping his leprosy. Isn't it sad people want to stay lost? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved and you just don't want to admit you're a sinner. Well, what a terrible, terrible reason to go to hell. Just because we wouldn't want to admit that we're lost and we need to be saved. Well, Naaman, you know the story. His servants came and told him pretty much that he was stupid. Hey, Naaman, you know, you're a big shot. You're smart. I mean, this is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen you do. I've watched you lead battles. I've watched you make great decisions. I cannot believe that you won't go do what the man of God said to do. I just can't imagine why you wouldn't go do what the man of God said to do. And so he did. Can you see it? I mean, it's an amazing thing. And he goes to the dirty old Jordan River, and man of God said he had to dip seven times. I promise you this, if he'd only dipped six times, he'd have come out with leprosy. He had to do exactly what the man of God said. And sure enough, he did it God's way. By the way, that's how salvation is. It's God's way or it's not. You know, people say all the time, well, they're sincere. I think that'll get them in. Sincerity won't get anybody in. It won't get you in. If you're not saved, if you're not, Jesus said you must be born again. That means something has to happen. There has to be a change that comes from God. It's not a matter of you turning over a new leaf. It's a matter of God making you a new creature. And that's what salvation is. And so seven times he dips in that Jordan River. And I'm sure he was mad at first. But I guarantee when he came out of there with the leprosy gone, he was happy. And so Naaman then, he's excited. He praises the Lord over that. And what a blessing that he's healed. The Bible says his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Only God can clean you up like that. Amen. He could have washed the pus off, but it would have just all come back. Amen. I mean, he could have washed himself and kind of got cleaned up a little bit, but he still would have had the leprosy and eventually died from it. But when God washed him, he washed him completely clean. Well, he's all excited and he's thrilled, and he wants to reward the man of God. And of course, he's praising the Lord, and he offers Naaman offers Elisha a reward, and because he's so excited, and the Bible says that verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. He said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And Elisha, of course, he doesn't want a reward. He doesn't want any of the glory. He said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. I mean, he says, I'm committed to the Lord now. Amen. But Elisha, he didn't want a reward. He refused it. He was excited because the fella was clean. Amen. But you know, isn't it interesting? His assistant pastor was watching all that time. And the assistant was listening all that time. And I can almost see it in my mind, and I do that. We talk about that. Sometimes that gets me in trouble, especially when I envision planes falling out of the sky and getting eaten by sharks and all that. But I envision things, and I can almost see as Elisha saying, no. You know, I can almost see Gehazi standing back there, and Naaman says, wouldn't you like some money? Couldn't I give you some silver? Couldn't I give you some change of garments? Couldn't I give you some beasts of burden? And I could just see Gehazi wanting to jump, maybe trying to get Elisha's attention. And I can almost see him, and you can see the wheels turning in his head. You know, wait a minute, I could use some of that. And you know, I was a part of this thing, right? You can just see it happening. And with that, Gehazi goes on to break his master's heart. With that, Gehazi goes on to break the heart of the one who loved him. I wonder, now we know that it breaks God's heart when we sin. I wonder how many other hearts we break when we do our own thing. And so Gehazi, in our text that we just read, he goes to Naaman away from Elisha, and he lies to him. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And Naaman gives him the reward. Can you see how happy he was? Verse 24, he hides it, goes to the tower, and he goes and he hides those things. And, you know, I mean, nobody's going to know about this. I got all these things. And, hey, you know, hey, we're just doing God's will. But then the Bible says he has to face his master. Now, folks, honestly, the day comes when we face our master. That day will come. The time to answer will come. Always, always before that time comes, there's God dealing with us. Don't you know God's heart is with us? Every bit as much as Elisha's heart was with Gehazi all the way through his sin. Don't you realize and understand God's heart is with us when he chastens us? Oh, don't you understand that his heart is broken like a parent's heart would be broken when they have to deal with a child's sin? Our God's heart is broken as he convicts us, as he chastens us. Hey, you know, I have to think, Gehazi, do you somehow think that tower is going to hide you? Do you somehow think the house will be a real good hiding place from the one whose heart you've broken? No, it never is. By the way, just like Achan's tent was not sufficient hiding place from God Almighty when Achan stole the accursed thing. Because God's there. God's heart is with you. God says, don't you understand? Just like Elisha said, went not mine heart with thee. Don't you understand? God says to us, went not my heart with you? Went not my heart with you when you got on the internet? Went not my heart with you when you went to that place you shouldn't have gone? Went not my heart with you on that date? Went not mine heart with you to that TV program? Went not mine heart with you as you stood with all your buddies and talked and told dirty jokes and stories? Went not mine heart with you as you stole from God during the offering, as you kept the tithe? I'm just saying, you name it. God says, my heart with you, it went with you, and it broke my heart. And I'm just saying that the day always comes when we have to face him. It will come. Went not mine heart with thee? And by the way, it's whether it's Gehazi breaking Elisha's heart, or whether it's a child breaking their parent's heart, or a student breaking a teacher's heart, or a follower breaking a leader's heart, or a church member breaking a pastor's heart, a broken heart, somebody goes along with you. Somebody's heart goes into that sin with you. Somebody, usually a lot of somebody's hearts, go right into that sin with you. No. This is my thing. I hear it from teenagers all the time. Hey, this is my thing. Nobody else is affected. Oh, everybody else is affected. Went not mine heart with thee? several ways Gehazi broke his heart. By the way, understand, we're never alone. We sing that song, no, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me. And we love that. Boy, when it's dark, I'm scared. You know, when things are going on, I don't understand. I'm scared. I know he's there. You know, when I need comfort, boy, he's there comforting me. Understand this. That's all wonderful. But you're not alone when you think you're alone. And when you are doing what Gehazi did, when you are heading into sin, when you are on the process, don't you understand? You take God's heart. You take other people's hearts right along with you. How did he break his master's heart? Number one, his love. His love. Elisha found out his love. Now, I think he already had a clue. Gehazi had some problems. We'll get into that in a minute. But his love. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, we could tell what he really loves. I mean, here's a fellow that's just been healed. Here's a guy that was just thrilled that God healed him. Here's the man of God, Elisha, who told him what to do. He didn't make a big deal out of it. He didn't call all the TV crews in. He just knew that God needed to get the glory. And he told the man, if you'll do exactly what I say to do, God will heal you. And God healed him. And what's Gehazi? First, what's he thinking about? First thing, he's thinking about, how much money can I get out of this? Wonder what I can get out of this. You know, honestly, if faith healing were really faith healing, we'd never ask a dime. And if it really were faith healing, wouldn't we go into the hospitals? And go room to room? I believe in faith healing. We anoint people with oil at least once a month. Somebody gets anointed with oil, and we believe it. Totally believe it. But it's not about money. You ever been in a healing line? I don't know, maybe you have. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you ever have, you find out that most healing lines, there's somebody in along that line wanting something from you to keep you in that line. Hello? No, I'm not saying all the time, but I'm just saying, come on. But again, that's not the point. There's always a Gehazi around there who has a different love. Shouldn't it have been enough that the guy got healed? It was sure enough to Elisha. He thought it was great. But you see, it broke the master's heart because he found out what Gehazi really loved. Money, fame, fortune, be a big shot. Yeah, if I could just get some money out of this thing. I think that's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. You get messed up with money, and I got news for you, it affects everything you do. It really does. Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And all you have to do is look at somebody's treasure and you find out what they love. If they have a lot of treasure, then you find out they must love their treasure. But if they have treasure and they give away their treasure and they pour their treasure into the ministry and into people's lives and into others and into soul winning and into bus ministries and all that, you say, wow, that must be what they love. Amen. And you see his love for money. By the way, that's why when people don't tithe, you tell me who you love and what you love. Come on, let's be honest about that. I mean, with me as a new Christian, it came down to we started tithing. I've told the story. I watched the check. We started tithing. And then I wanted a new color television set. And that color television set, I worked at RCA, and I could get one in the little family store there, and they were going to give me a deal. You can always get a deal on things you're not supposed to have. It's amazing. And they were going to give me a deal, and they said that I could buy that color, and they said how much it would cost a week. They would take it right out of my check. Isn't that convenient? Come on, everybody ought to have a new color TV if they'll take the money right out of your check. Several of you say, yeah, preacher said it. And it was exactly our tithe. Exactly. Huh. And color TV showed up in the living room. At that time, our living room was almost as big as the color TV. But brand new color TV in front of the living room. I can still see it there. Boy, I was excited about that color television. 25-inch. Yeah, back then, that was it. As many of you would say, that was the cat's meow. You say, what'd you do? Oh, after about a week of not tithing, I took it back. Why is that? Because I couldn't rob God. Amen. Because I knew where I wanted my heart to be. And I wanted my master to know that I loved him more. There's folks all over this room, honestly. It amazes me how you, week after week after week, rob God because you love money. You love it. No, preacher, you don't understand. I love God. No, you do not love God if you don't tithe. That you are lying to yourself. You're not lying to God. I mean, you may try to lie to God and figure it all out. I mean, honestly, I could have justified that TV. Oh, God, I'll watch religious programming. Yeah, so you're going to rob God so you can watch religious programming. That's a great thing. Gehazi thought life was all about money. He loved it. But you know, it's not all about that. It's about doing something for God and doing something for other people. Hey, let me ask you a question. As you contemplate facing God someday, do you owe God anything? Do you owe Him? I mean, some of you use God's money this summer to go on vacation. Well, God wants me to be happy. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. You use God's money to buy your appliance. Hello? But you don't understand. It broke. I'll be honest. Honestly, sir, you rob God, something's going to break. I promise there will be other things break. Did you rob from God so you could have a little amusement? But see, the worst thing about all that is it broke the master's heart because of Gehazi's love. Because I promise you this, the master would have thought, I thought you loved me. I don't think, for example, if I went up to Kelvin tonight and I pulled a gun out, of course pulling a gun out would have to indicate that you have one on, which I don't. But if I got one of yours and I pulled that on Kelvin and I said, give me all your money, I love you. You'd have to kind of wonder about that, wouldn't you? Amen. His love broke the master's heart. How's your love tonight? Are you breaking your master's heart? Went not mine heart with thee? Don't you understand? My heart! You had my heart! And a parent says, hey! Don't you get it, kid? You had my heart! Your little fling! That's my heart! Don't you understand? Your curiosity is my heart. Don't you get it? Your sin, that's my heart. You hear the cracking, that's my heart that you break. It's my heart, the master says. Your love. Another thing that broke the master's heart was his lust. His lust. The Bible says in verse 20, came to pass when they were come into Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes. I'm sorry, wrong verse. Chapter 5 and verse 20, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian." What's he doing? He's lusting. He's thinking through it. "Behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought." He's lusting. In the lust, you start to figure everything out. In the lust, you start to become blind to reality. In the lust, your love of what's really there starts to come out. "My master has spared Naaman this Syrian and not receiving in his hands that which he brought." I mean, this man wanted to give my master something. My master said no. And I mean, come on. What is wrong with my master? And you know what? That's exactly how we are toward God when we think somehow he's cheated us. Preached on it this morning. You say, it seems like you've been thinking about this a lot since you preached on that this morning. Yeah, I have. And here's what he does. We see his lust. Watch it. I have it written right here by this verse. "But as the Lord liveth, I will." As the Lord liveth, I will. His lust. See it? "As the Lord liveth, I will." My master won't, but I will. Hey, my parents won't, but I will. Huh? My Sunday school teacher won't, but I will. Oh, goody, goody, two shoes over there. They won't, but I will. Hey, the spiritual people, they won't, but I will. That's what he's saying, his lust. Church won't, but I will. Pastor won't, but I will. See his lust? "I'll run after him and take somewhat of him." And there's his lust. Lust convinces himself this is what he needs to do. Look, go to James 1. James 1, just real quick. I'm on the back page. That ought to always encourage you. See how many pages are? About 50, but... just kidding. James 1, verse 14. Here it is. I preached on this once. James 1, verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of" what? "His own lust." Devil doesn't know what you're thinking, but he knows what you want. Because you've gone after it before. That's why when you fish for certain fish and they bite on something, use that same bait again. Hello? You say, "Oh, preacher, you can't liken us to fish." No, they're smarter. "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." You're not going to get drawn away of somebody else's lust. It's going to be what you lust after. It's going to be what is on your heart. It's going to be the result of how your heart is. Hey, if you want to find out how dangerous of a territory you're living in tonight, find out what you love. Because that is exactly where that lust comes from. It's, what do you love? Gehazi loved money, so his lust was in the area of money. "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." But notice this. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That is always true. There's never a time that that's not true. It is always true. Keep that in your mind. Check real quick Psalm 81, verse 12. Book of Psalms, 81, verse 12. I want to show you something. Never preached on this verse, ran into it. Psalms 81, verse 12. Watch what it says. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. And watch this. And they walked in their own counsels. Isn't that an amazing verse? When God says, okay, I've convicted, I've chastened, now you go ahead. And they immediately, look what it says, they walked in their own counsels. And that, when I read that verse, it just totally made this story come to life as to what was going on with Gehazi. Hey, this guy's the assistant pastor. Come on, he's a guy that reads his Bible. He's a guy that prays. He's a guy that has watched miracle after miracle take place. He's just seen a man dip 7 times in the Jordan River and be healed of leprosy. How can he give in to this thing? Oh, because once he fell prey to his own lust, he followed his own counsel. What's that mean, preacher? Look what he told Naaman. Look at what he said to Naaman. Verse 22. Well, it says in verse 21, it says, he lighted down from the chariot, Naaman, to meet him and said, is all well? Verse 22. And he said, what's he say? All is well. Gehazi, who's about to steal from this man, all's well. Can you imagine? All is well. It's okay. He says, my master has sent me. Really? Huh. My master has sent me. And you know what? I think at that point he believed it. You ever have anybody? As a pastor, I had this all the time. Well, I believe that God wants me to sin. You say, they say that? Oh, never. They would never say God wants me to sin. They say God wants me to do this. Hear it all the time. Teenagers are real good at it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. God is leading me. I've had people come, and pardon me, but I've had folks come up and say, and in counseling, they'll come in, they'll say, I believe God is leading me to get a divorce. I'll say, it's amazing. Well, why is that? I say, because he says he hates it. That'd be like somebody saying, well, I believe the pastor is leading me to shoot him. Pastor's leading me to break his windshield. But see, that's that giving into your own counsel. Because, okay, if they were given over to their own counsel and they're lusting after wrong things, then what would that counsel lead them to? I mean, honestly, if I want to do wrong, I can talk myself into it. I not only, because I'm a pastor and I know my Bible and I've studied and I've talked to all kinds of people and you've given me all kinds of great excuses. I could not only talk myself into it, I could probably make it look like it is God's will. At least to me. Why? Well, because it's my lust that is the problem. I hear it all the time. They'll say, well, we're moving to a certain place for a certain job. And I'll say, first thing I always say, well, do you have a church to go to there? Oh, no, we have no idea. Then don't do it. Amen. Then don't do it. Then there's no that, oh, no, but God's leading. No, God will never lead you somewhere where there's nowhere for you to be fed spiritually. Never. He's not going to do that. It's amazing, though. You know, I'll have people come, well, God's led me to be a bartender. Had somebody tell me that once. I said, are you nuts in all ways or just this one? And it'll all, I mean, this happens many, many times. Well, preacher, he's just such a wonderful guy. Was he saved?
Oh, I don't know, but he doesn't go to church. Oh. I know it's God's will.
And you know what you've done? Honestly, all you've done is you've had a wrong heart, you lusted, you gave in to that, and then you follow your own counsel. That's it. And your own counsel is always going to lead you to fulfill your lust. Always. It has nothing to do with God. Don't blame God. Quit blaming God. Don't blame your master, Gehazi. Hey, Gehazi, your master did not send you. All is not well. Son, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for deep trouble. You're about to have Naaman's leprosy. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Break God's heart. Had a guy one time, God's leading me to work as a bouncer in a nightclub. Remember that, Brent? I said, don't do it. He said, what's God's will? I'll be able to witness. I said, you'll be drawn away and you will ruin your life. That man got a divorce. Wasn't long. Gehazi, I said, this is God's will. Gehazi, I said, why shouldn't I have that? Hey, the man of God said not to have it. That's why you shouldn't have it. Your master said not to have it. So many people play games like that, calling it God's will to try and convince themselves and everybody else. But understand this, folks, God does have a will. He does have a will. And the truth of the matter is, most of us just want our own. We have no right to that. And I hear it all the time. But God wants me to be happy. No, he wants you to surrender. That's what he really wants. He wants you to surrender. He owns you. You're bought with a price. You have no right to do your own thing. No right. His lust. What else broke Elisha's heart? His lie. Actually, I wrote down here there are three lies. The first lie is in verse 22 when he lied to himself. Is all well? And Gehazi said, all is well. Okay, Gehazi, if all is well, take the Lord's Supper with us. Right? I remember as an unsaved teenager, first time I was confronted with the Lord's Supper, they explained what it was. Never forget it. They explained the Lord's Supper. They explained what it represented. And they explained what the Scripture said about examining yourself. And I knew I was lost. And I'll never forget. I had a whole bunch of friends that I knew they were lost too. They were every bit as bad as I was. And they passed the elements around. And I wouldn't take one. I was the only one that didn't. Why did you take one, preacher? Because I knew. I knew that all was not well. And yet we do have a little conflict when God says, this do. I've preached this for many, many years. God says, this do, so whatever keeps you from not doing, you need to get right. What, are you ashamed of God? Teenagers. Well, God wants me. No, God does not. God wants you to do His will. But see, first, he had to lie to himself that all was well. Isn't that amazing how we can get to that place where we really can avoid the conviction that God's bringing on? Isn't that amazing how we get there? Isn't it amazing how we can ignore the chastening of God and how God deals with us? And so first, he had to lie to himself. Then he had to lie to Naaman. He said, my master has sent me. And then he came up with a story about these two prophets. Oh yeah, he wants to have something for the two prophets that are coming. Some other men of God. So he lied to himself. He lied to Naaman. But then he lied to his master. Verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master. Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. What a lie. You know, Elisha had cared for him. He loved him. And he lied to him. No respect for his master. And you know the heart you break? Teenager, you lie to your parents. You lie to your authorities. People here lie to your employer. People lie to their spouse. You lie to your master. Just as he didn't get away with it, we don't either. What else broke the master's heart? Well, his love, his lust, his lie. Number four, his lack of faith. This is one of the most amazing things, really, to me. Verse 26, he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maids? In other words, hey, your reward's coming. Your blessings are coming. God's going to take care of you. God's going to provide for you. Hey, listen, you just need to trust God. Satan's always trying to get us to not trust God. And that's all we need to do, just trust Him. Hey, you don't have to steal. God will take care of you. You don't have to take things. God will provide. When are you going to get it? His lack of faith. That breaks God's heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Why can't you trust God? There will be a time when God takes care of that need, that desire. Wow. There's folks, God's called you to do something, you'll never do it because you don't trust God. There's parents here. You won't let your kids do what God wants them to do because you don't trust God.
Well, I just don't want little Poindexter to be out there on some mission field somewhere. He might have a boo-boo.
I'm serious. It drives me nuts. Hey, you know, our teachers here, they could make twice as much in other ways. But they know their reward's coming. God's going to bless them. God's going to take care of them. It's interesting. His lack of faith. Kind of, as soon as I started really thinking about that, I went back to chapter 4 because I remembered Gehazi being involved in something else as an assistant pastor. You got to watch out for assistant pastors. And here the Shunammite woman's son had died, and verse 30, the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He arose and followed her. I'm sorry, verse 29, he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. Verse 31, Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. I thought, well, no wonder. No wonder. Gehazi didn't have faith. He didn't have enough faith to think God could provide him more than 2 talents of silver and 2 changes of garments. He didn't have faith. And you know, I think that broke the master's heart. Oh, sin is terrible. It's wrong. But when you say, God, you can't meet my needs, so I'm going to go out here and steal. You can't meet my needs, God, so I'm going to go out here and I'm going to steal your tithe. You can't take care of me, God, so I'm going to take care of me because I can't trust you. And that, I believe, broke the master's heart. And it broke the master's heart, his love, his lust, his lie, his lack of faith, and the last thing, number 5, it broke his heart at his loss. Understand, this was a person that he loved. Understand this, God loves you. When we lose, it breaks God's heart. Every bit as much as the times you had that little child over your knee and you had the paddle and you wept every bit as hard as they wept as you spanked them. And the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. Are you listening? That's not only Gehazi, that's Gehazi's children. And there is Gehazi and his little family out on the playground. And as soon as other people walk up, they yell, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" Well, why is that, preacher? Oh, because Gehazi and his family can't be around other families. Can you see him with his little daughter sitting on his lap? "Daddy, why do we have leprosy? Daddy, all the little kids get to play with everybody else, but Daddy, I don't get to go to school. I don't get to play." And as he wipes the pus from his arms, he would have to say, "Well, you know, I had something in my heart. I loved the wrong things. I lusted after what I loved. I lied. I had a lack of trusting my master. And that's why. I just didn't think." And that's true. But understand this, and I close with this. With every wrong decision like Gehazi made, there's a God in heaven saying, "Went not my heart with thee?" There's a parent saying, "Hey, while you were doing that, my heart was there." There's a person who loves you. "Went not my heart with thee?" There's a Sunday school teacher that's calling out to you, "Hey, don't you know where you're taking my heart?" There's a child who says, "Hey, wait, what about my heart?" There's a grandchild says, hey, don't." There's a pastor. Oh, and I'll tell you, the pastor's heart gets taken a lot of places and broken. But none greater than when you think of the master's heart. Breaking the master's heart. Let's bow our heads, please. In a moment, we'll have the Lord's Supper. I would encourage you to do what the Scripture says and examine yourself. I'm not trying to examine anybody. You look, you know your heart, you know your love, you know your lust, you know what you've done about it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, "Preacher, God's speaking to my heart tonight. Pray for me, 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 pray for me." Father, bless the invitation and help us to do what you want us to do and make the decisions you want us to make. God, I don't want to break your heart. I pray that you'll help us to make the decisions you've laid on our hearts in Jesus' name.